I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church, and I welcome you to this, the fifth reflection in our 12 Days of Christmas series for the year of our Lord 2014-2015. On the fifth day of Christmas, December 29th, the theme word is obedience. Obedience is not a popular word in a culture obsessed with self-gratification. Obedience, in the theological sense, does not mean allegiance to the dictates of politicians, generals, or even bishops. By obedience, we mean obedience to the will of God. In the Church, there are no better models than the Blessed St. Mary and the Blessed St. Joseph. Scripture tells us that the Blessed Virgin was chosen by God owing to her virtuous life. The Archangel Gabriel said to her in Luke 1:28, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." The time was in the sixth month after John the Baptist, the forerunner and last prophet of the Old Testament, was conceived in the womb of Mary's previously barren cousin, Elizabeth. Mary was understandably puzzled by this greeting, and Gabriel reassured her, saying, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." That's Luke 1, verse 30 to 33. We can safely assume that Mary, raised in the Jewish household of Joachim and Anne, knew that bearing a child not that of her espoused husband might subject her to death by stoning, and at the very least to her rejection by her betrothed husband Joseph. Mary said to Gabriel in Luke 1:34, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Gabriel explained, saying in verse 35, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Gabriel, perhaps sensing her reservations, reminded Mary how her cousin Elizabeth had conceived in old age 6 months earlier, saying, "For with God nothing will be impossible." Mary heard this unqualified reminder that she should place all her faith in God without reservation. She said in reply to Gabriel, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." Mary calls herself a maidservant of the Lord, meaning she has placed herself as subject to, in all things, to his divine will and command, without regard to risk of life, limb, or reputation, without demanding further explanations or doubting, as did Zacharias, the husband of Elizabeth, when Gabriel visited him in the account in Luke 1:19-22. Mary afterward visited her cousin Elizabeth, who was carrying in her womb the unborn John the Baptist, the forerunner, the one who was destined to prepare the way for Christ. St. Luke tells us that at Mary's presence, the unborn infant John jumped in Elizabeth's womb. Therefore, Elizabeth said in Luke 1:45, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Mary then joyfully, in Luke 1:46-55, sang the Magnificat, the first of four songs found in St. Luke's Gospel. Here I cite the Anglican Prayer Book text of the opening line, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the lowliness of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." She went on to cite all that God had done for her and for the chosen people, the descendants of Abraham, and, quote, "to his seed forever." Now let's turn to St. Joseph as our second model of obedience, where St. Luke's Gospel tells the nativity story from Mary's perspective. In St. Matthew's Gospel, it is told more from Joseph's perspective. In Jewish practice, one was betrothed or espoused about a year before the marriage contract was completed with an actual marriage ceremony. The news that Mary was filled with child about 6 months into the marriage contract and without sexual relations between them caused Joseph, though according to Matthew in 1:19, a just man, to reconsider. St. Matthew tells us that Joseph had no desire to make Mary a public example. Instead, he considered, quote, "putting her away secretly," which we should take to mean that instead of pursuing divorce on grounds of infidelity as the law allowed, or perhaps stoning, he should instead keep the matter a secret. The artwork for this series of slides is a detail from a mid-19th century stained glass window at the National Shrine of St. Francis of Assisi in San Francisco. It was then that an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin." Matthew 1, verses 20 to 21. The angel reminded Joseph that this was the fulfillment of Isaiah's virgin birth or Emmanuel prophecy from Isaiah 7, verse 14. Emmanuel means God with us. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." We rely upon St. Matthew's text for an account of Joseph's obedience. For in Matthew 1:23, Matthew writes, "Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus." In St. Matthew's Gospel are three more examples of Joseph's obedience to the will of the Lord, voiced through an angel. In his sleep, Joseph was visited by an angel who issued a warning. "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." Matthew 2, verse 13. The angel's warning is depicted in the sanctuary mural on the Gospel side at St. Joseph's Villa Chapel in Richmond, Virginia. Herod's destruction of the children of Jerusalem was discussed in the reflection on the third day of Christmas on the theme of compassion. An obedient Joseph took the Holy Child and St. Mary, his mother, and fled to Egypt. After the death of Herod, the angel came again in a dream in Egypt, saying in Matthew 2:20, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel." And again, Joseph was obedient, and the return is also depicted in the sanctuary murals at St. Joseph's Villa Chapel. The third and final example of Joseph's obedience to the will of the Lord comes as a result of another dream. In Matthew 2:22, he writes that Joseph was, quote, "warned by God in a dream concerning the risk of coming under the control of Herod's son and successor, Archelaus, and that as a result, Joseph turned away from Jerusalem and went into the Galilee." On January 1st, the eighth day of Christmas, we celebrate another example of Mary's obedience, in this case to the Mosaic Law, celebrated in her submission of her child Jesus to the ritual of circumcision. And we celebrate this event with the hymn, The Ancient Law Departs. And we'll talk about that in more detail on January 1st. On this, the fifth day of Christmas, December 29th, we remember that both Blessed Mary and Blessed Joseph, memorialized in a 19th century stained glass window at Basel Cathedral, or the Basel Minster in Switzerland. Although they did not know or understand what the purpose of the Lord might be and what they were asked to do, nevertheless, they obeyed. I invite you to join us tomorrow, the sixth day of Christmas, December 30th, when the key word is joy. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be merciful to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. This program has been a production of the Anglican Internet Church. We invite you to visit our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net.